This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
There are hopeful signs that the worst of the cost of living crisis is behind us. New figures show grocery inflation over the last 12 weeks was running at just under 3%. During the same period last year, it was almost 13%. Energy prices are also down from their peak, interest rates are expected to fall, and new entrants are expected to drive down prices in the banking and insurance sectors. So, why does everything still feel so expensive?
We were living through an era of historically low food prices between 2010 and 2020. Prices have absolutely skyrocketed. Now, what we've seen in recent months has been a stabilization, but generally speaking, the basket of goods in 2024 is going to be higher than it was.
From shrinkflation to energy prices, fixing or switching, Irish Times consumer affairs correspondent Conor Pope knows where the savings can be made, and he tells us some of the own brand products you've told us you love.
A lot of people recommend it, own brand porridge oats. A lot of people recommend it, own brand dairy. And another one that I know of are the own brand sun creams.
This is in the news from the Irish Times. I'm Bernice Harrison. Today, is the cost of living crisis over? Okay, Conor. Energy prices are coming down. It's great. So does that mean that the cost of living crisis is over?
No, the cost of living crisis isn't over, but it probably has plateaued and we're probably in a better position than we were this time last year or this time the previous year. And you talk about energy prices, and that's one area where we have seen a significant decline over recent months. Now, the way that actually unfolded, it was kind of interesting because in 2020 and 2021, energy prices hit the floor because there was very little consumption globally as a result of the pandemic. So energy prices fell and fell and fell and fell and fell. And then when the pandemic came to an end and when consumption increased, energy prices started to increase in tandem with that. And then, of course, in the spring of 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine and the energy markets exploded. And the prices on the wholesale markets went through the roof. They increased by more than double. And as a result, that had a significant knock-on impact on Irish consumers and on domestic energy. And just to put it into context, if it costs 2,000 euro or thereabouts to heat and light your home and to cook your meals in 2021, 12 months later, the annual cost had risen to 4,000 euro. Now, that's an additional 2,000 euros that Irish consumers had to find. And that's after tax, which meant many people had to earn an additional 4 grand just to stay in the same position they were in financially as a result of this, of the Russian invasion. And then the global markets started to factor in Russia's war with Ukraine into their pricing, and they started to source energy from other places, and they started to get more confidence that the energy supplies wouldn't be overly impacted, and the prices on the wholesale markets started to fall. So what we saw in Ireland was consumers started noticing price decreases from the big providers in the autumn of last year. And we saw 10% here, 15% there. And I think sometimes it helps to look at the benchmark figure of 2,000 euro pre-crisis, 4,000 euro at the height of the crisis. And as a result of two successive decreases by the domestic energy companies in Ireland, the typical Irish household is probably spending around 3 grand heating and lighting their home over the course of a year now. So much better than it was in 2023, much worse than it was in 2021. So when it comes to energy, is the cost of living crisis over? Probably not. We're still paying much more than we were, but we are paying a lot less than we were as well.
And can we pay even less? Are there savings to be made? Now, I think I sort of suspect I know what you're going to say, and I'm going to have to admit that in 25 years in the same house, I've never shopped around for an energy provider. But anyway, how can people make savings, Conor?
Okay, well, before we answer that question, Bernice, can I give you a depressing figure?
Go on.
You personally have probably wasted around 15,000 euro over the last 25 years by not switching. And you could have even wasted more than that. Mm-hmm. Now, that's 15,000 euro that you've chosen
inertia
to give to an energy provider because you couldn't be bothered swapping and switching. And you're not alone. around 50 or 60 or even 70%
there,
of the market don't switch.
Yeah.
And it kills me when I hear this. Okay. So that's my starting point. So what I would say to you now is that we have seen prices down to around 3,000 euro over the course of a year. And I'm just giving that as a ballpark. For some houses, it's going to be more. For some, it'll be less. There will be another price decrease rolled out by the providers in the months ahead. That'll probably amount to 10, 15, or maybe even 20%. Now, that'll take prices down by another 500 euros. But you could take action now, and by switching from company A to company B, you could see prices falling by another 500 euro. So coupled with the price decrease that's coming down the tracks and the price decrease that you could get by being a little bit more proactive, you could see your energy bills fall to around 2 grand over the course of a year, which is where it was in 2021. But that does require action on your part and on other people's part. And the thing that really kills me about it is switching energy provider is not like switching cornflakes or not like switching cola drink, because there's absolutely no difference in the quality of the gas or the electricity supplied by company A or company B. It's exactly the same product. And it's not like switching broadband provider, because there's no risk that you lose connection. There's no risk that the service will be in any way impeded. So it's just money on the table waiting for people to grasp it.
Okay. Okay.
Have I convinced you, Bernice?
Well, we'll be back in the studio again now in a while, and I'll still say the same thing, I bet. But anyway, so when energy prices went through the roof, it trickled down. Obviously, we saw it in people's monthly bills. But of course, then manufacturers, food manufacturers, everybody from farmers to food manufacturers, everybody said, look, it's costing us so much more to make our stuff. So that's why prices are going up. So is the basket of groceries going to come down now then?
The short answer to the question is no. But the problem...
Why though?
Well, I suppose the reality is that we were living through an era of historically low food prices between 2010 and 2020. And there's this old phrase that I wish I'd known I was living in the good old days when I was living in them. But that's what we were doing. Prices, food prices were much lower in 2010 than they were in 1980 or 1990 or even 2000. And that was because there was a much higher level of competition in the retail space in this country. So what we've seen in recent times has been prices have absolutely skyrocketed. And according to the figures from Kantar World Panel, the retail analysts, grocery price inflation was running at in excess of 16% year on year this time last year. Now that's a massive increase. And it is exactly as you say, it is because producers were under pressure, farmers were under pressure, retailers were under pressure. So they all, because they were feeling the same cost of living pressures that we were in terms of energy, and then they had higher wage costs and all the rest. So prices climbed and climbed and climbed. Now, what we've seen in recent months has been a stabilization of those price increases. So according to the most recent figures from Kantar, which were released on Monday, grocery price inflation now is running at 2.9%. Now, bear in mind that in April of 2023, it was 13%. Now it's 2.9%.
So over 15%.
So it's the rate at which prices are increasing now is much, much slower than it was. But it's increasing on the back of the 13% hike. Mm. So if you had a product that cost 1 euro in 2020 and it climbed to 1.20 in 2023, we're seeing a 2% increase on the 1.20. Will prices drop? They might drop a little bit, because the retail space in Ireland is super competitive. And when it comes to the staples that the everyone buys, milk, bread, dairy, when it comes to those kinds of products, we will see some price decreases. But generally speaking, the basket of goods that the Irish consumer buys in 2024 is going to be higher than it was in 2020.
Okay, no good news there. So you wrote on Monday in your Price Watch column about own brands. Now, just in case, from our chat there about energy, you think I'm Lady Muck from Mucktown who sits around, you know, eating bonbons with Fluffy.
Not for a second will I think that, Bernice.
I exclusively buy own brands.
Oh, yeah.
Exclusively. Well, maybe coffee. Well, no, there's a couple of things, but in general, I'm a German supermarket shopper.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are. What do we know about that?
Well, there has been this massive transformation in Ireland when it comes to own brand over the last decade or over the last 12 or 13 years. And I think the history of it is kind of interesting from an Irish perspective, because we had a pretty rocky start in our relationship with own brand goods. And that's largely down to what some of your older listeners may remember as yellow pack goods from Quinsworth. Now, in the early 1980s, Quinsworth launched this range of own brand products across its supermarkets. And for reasons best known to itself, it packaged them in the ugliest possible colours, yellow and black. And it was a bit like the COVID COVID warnings of more recent years. And the yellow pack products that they sold were pretty poor. And that was because Quinsworth, as a retailer, didn't have much influence and didn't have much buying power on international markets. So the products it was getting weren't great, but they were cheap. But people didn't buy them.
But I think there was sort of a stigma, wasn't there, Connor, that, you know, if you're buying those products, you're poor.
100%. But it wasn't even that. It was because people who bought those products were buying poor quality products, and yellow pack became a pejorative, and it became yellow pack jobs, yellow pack lives. It just became an insult.
Yeah.
So nobody wanted to be seen buying those products. And then in 1999, Aldi came to town, quickly followed by Lidl. And in the early stages or the early years of the German discounters being in Ireland, they struggled to break through that loathing we had.
Snobbishness,
part of it was snobbishness, but they couldn't get through to us to convince us that their own brand products were sufficiently good. Also, we were unfamiliar with the brands. We didn't recognise any of them, and we were confused by the whole thing. But then 2007, 2008, the economic crash happened, and snobbishness quickly went out the window, and people realised they had less money, and they realised they could get better value in the German discounters. But probably more importantly, the German discounters assiduously developed relationships with Irish suppliers, Irish producers, and the quality of the own brand products that they had on their shelves got better and better and better and better. And that forced Tesco and Dunnes to improve the quality of their own brand products. And as a result, people started to realise, do you know what? I can buy yogurt that has a brand name on it that doesn't taste as good as the own brand yogurt from Aldi or Lidl. And the price savings were significant. So spread over the course of a basket of goods, you could save yourself 30% by shopping exclusively own brand, as you probably know. And what we've seen in the last 5 or 6 or 8 years is that the demand for own brand has gone through the roof. So in 2007, 2008, maybe 8% of the typical Irish shopping basket was made up of own brand goods. Today, it's in terms of value, it's 48%.
Oof.
So, but we still have some way to travel in that space, because if you look at the UK, where the market for own brand is more mature, 60% of the typical shopping basket is made up of own brand. And it's the same in Germany, and it's the same in other parts of Europe. And the question that you would have to ask yourself is, why would I pay more for a product just because it has a recognizable brand when I could pay less and get the same quality? And that's the question that people are asking. And of course, the other thing that's worth bearing in mind is that when it comes to own brand, retailers, and not just Aldi and Lidl, but all of the retailers can respond faster to price decreases on markets, because they determine how much the product costs. They determine how much that they pay for that product. And one of the things that we've seen, and we've seen this particularly in places like France, where the retailers have been very aggressively pushing back against the big suppliers, the likes of Danone, Nestle, Pepsi, and all the rest, because they feel that the retailers are being charged too much for the products, and they have to pass those charges on to the consumers.
Well, now for your column, Connor, this week, you did a bit of a survey as to which own brand products people like. Which stood out?
Do you know, the very interesting thing was, I just posted something on the platform formerly known as Twitter about what's your favourite own brand product. And I expected maybe a dozen, two dozen people would respond. Hundreds of people got back to me with their favourite products. And there was just everything. An entire cornucopia, if you will, of different
a shopping
products.
Basket even.
A full shopping basket. So,
yeah.
And I think that's really helpful for people because it allows you then go and say, okay, well, Johnny has recommended this product and Mary has recommended that product. I'll give it a go. So a lot of products, like for instance, the porridge oats. A lot of people recommend it own brand porridge oats. A lot of people recommend it own brand dairy. A lot of people recommend it own brand steaks, own brand cheeses. And I suppose the point that a lot of people would make is that the milk sold in Ireland all comes from the same cows.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter if it's got the Tesco brand or the Aldi brand or the Lidl brand or a more well-known brand, it's coming from the same cows. So people would say, well, why would I spend more? And so a lot of people were recommending those kinds of products. But to be honest, it was everything. Another thing that really struck me, and I have to say, I know nothing about this world, were the moisturizers sold by the discounters.
Yeah.
Are apparently as good as the moisturizers that you might pay four, five, six times the price. And another one that I know from writing about it in the past are the own brand sun creams. We're heading into the summer. People will be buying, hopefully, sun creams to keep themselves protected. Okay, and this is according to the British Consumer Watchdog magazine, which there is no difference in terms of the efficacy or quality between the really expensive sun creams and the cheapest ship sun creams that you might see selling in your supermarket. So people can make the judgment for themselves.
Coming up, from chocolate to baby wipes, shrinkflation is costing us at the tills.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Connor, one thing that I think gets people really annoyed is shrinkflation. That's where you go and you pick up, I don't know, a bar of chocolate. And it's costing maybe the same as it used to cost, but it's significantly smaller.
Yeah.
So, but there's moves afoot.
Well, there's moves afoot in some places. I don't think there's moves afoot in this country, unfortunately. But one of the things that they've done in France, which I think is really interesting, is the French government has mandated that if a product goes on the market at a significantly smaller size for the same price from the beginning of July, the retailers will have to slap a massive orange sign on the product saying this product is now smaller but costs the same, and they'll have to leave that sign there for 2 months. And the idea is to stop suppliers and producers basically ripping people off. And that's what's happening. And I know that you mention, and everyone mentions, chocolate, our ice cream, our Easter eggs. But this is a really significant problem when it comes to everything, like baby wipes, nappies, toilet paper, sanitary products, everything is shrinking in size, and the prices are staying the same. And it is inflation by stealth. And I think sometimes we tend to laugh at it because it has a fairly silly word, a fairly silly name, shrinkflation. But it is a really serious problem. And I think fair play to the French government and fair play to Carrefour, which is the big French retailer, which has been pushing this for a long time. And the French government wants this to become an EU-wide practice. And I think we would all benefit from that, because it's only when we know that something is happening that we can take action. But like, if you take something simple like baby wipes, while you might be able to tell the difference between the size of a bar of chocolate visually, it's very hard to tell the difference between a packet of baby wipes that has 98 baby wipes
compared to one that has 120.
Sure. Mm. So it is a kind of sneaky and sinister practice that I think we would do well to wipe out.
Okay, so let's talk about interest rates. Interest rates always sounds like the most unsexy subject, but you feel it every month if you are lucky enough to have a mortgage. You feel it in your savings. You feel it every way. What's happening with interest rates?
Well, it's a very unsexy topic. Mm. Like almost anything that comes out of the European Central Bank headquarters in Frankfurt is pretty unsexy, let's be honest. But what we saw with interest rates over the last 18 months has been absolutely horrific for an awful lot of people. And I know the focus has been on the 120,000 or so people with tracker mortgages, because they were the people who were in the front lines of 9 or 10 successive interest rate hikes. But anybody who's applying for a mortgage now will be paying a higher interest rate than they would have had to pay 2 years ago, even if they're going into a fixed or variable rate, because of the ECB move. So way more than just the tracker holder people are paying the price for these mortgage hikes. The good news is that they are on the way down again. Now, the way the financial markets work, it's like it's tediously cyclical. So the markets get spooked. They're terrified of inflation. So they start increasing interest rates, because that's literally the only economic lever that the European Central Bank can pull to try and bring down inflation. And they have this magic fixation with this magic mark of 2%. So inflation started to go up 6, 7, 8, 9% across Europe. Interest rates went up in tandem with that. Now inflation is falling, 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 falling. There's likely to be an interest rate decrease from the European Central Bank in June. There might be another one in September. There might be another one as an early Christmas present for people in December. And we could see interest rates fall by 0.75% or 1% by the end of the year. And that would benefit the tracker holders in Ireland primarily, but it will also see interest rates across the board fall. And I think we'd all welcome that.
But it doesn't benefit those people who were really spooked by the market maybe this time last year and locked in for 3 years.
Well, the way I would look at the mortgage rates and fixing, you never try and second guess the market. And that's the most important message that I could give to anybody who's looking at fixing a mortgage or staying on a tracker. You do it to secure your own financial stability. So somebody who locked in for 3 years or 5 years last year should have done so on the basis that they were confident they could pay that amount of money for the next 3 years, not because they wanted to second guess where the market was going. Because if you're trying to beat the market, it's kind of a mug's game.
Okay, so in banking, we're very badly served. We've very poor choice. However, this week, there's a new entrant to the Irish market.
There is.
So tell me about that. And is that good?
The company that behind Avant Money, so they will offer credit cards and they're going to come into the market in Ireland. Now, it's still early days, but it's likely they're going to be a digital only bank. So they won't have the branch network that AIB, Bank of Ireland, PTSB have. It is going to be good news because anytime there's competition in the market, consumers win. So that move is to be welcomed. It remains to be seen exactly how it's going to play out. But, you know, I would say the three pillar banks that are left will be looking over their shoulders slightly more anxiously because they don't want to see, they don't lose business to a new player.
Can we talk about the cost of living crisis and insurance? We've been promised on a political level, really, for a long time that insurance rates are going to come down.
Yeah.
That all these mechanisms have been put in place to ensure that insurance comes down. There's a new health insurance provider, for example, coming to the market. Will that see prices fall?
Yeah, Aviva, the big insurance company, is entering the Irish health insurance, private health insurance market from probably September or October. That will lead to prices falling because they will have to enter the market in a very aggressive way because you have to get to a critical mass of consumers quickly. And they're not buying buying an existing provider. So they will be starting from zero and they'll have to get tens of thousands of new members fast. So the only way to do that is to offer better and more enhanced services at a cheaper price. So I would be confident that prices will come down for consumers across the board because, of course, Laya Healthcare, VHI and Irish Life Healthcare or Irish Life Health will have to respond to those price decreases. In terms of motor insurance, we've been told for a long time that all of these changes to the Personal Injuries Assessment Board and to the legal mechanisms behind claims will see prices falling. I think most drivers would say that they haven't noticed anything significant in the last couple of years, but we'd have to watch that space. Home insurance is actually on the rise because, of course, the cost of building materials, the cost of builders has gone up. So the rebuilding cost for your home has gone up. And as a result, we've seen a higher cost for home insurance. So across the board, you would anticipate the prices will fall a little bit, but they're falling from a really high base. And this takes us almost full circle back to where we were at the very start when it came to energy prices. Because yes, prices will fall. The interest rates will fall. Insurance prices will fall. Grocery prices will fall. And energy prices will fall. But they're not going to fall back to where we were. They're just going to fall back to somewhat more than we were paying. So that answers the question, is the cost of living crisis over? It's probably plateaued, but we're still going to end up paying more. And I think that's why an awful lot of people will still find themselves struggling in the months ahead because of the higher prices that they have to pay.
Okay, Conor, thanks very much.
Thanks very much. Always good to be here.
That's it for today. For more of Conor Pope's reports and his Price Watch column, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Bernice Harrison. This episode was produced by Aideen Finnegan. In the news, we'll be back tomorrow.